Gomar Joe, but some show blow. This is Spielpod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from our perch high atop Tbilisi's picturesque Rustavili Avenue. Today is Thursday, the 19th of June, 2014. On this date in 1865, over 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, slaves in Galveston, Texas, are finally informed of their freedom. The anniversary is celebrated in Texas and elsewhere to this day as Juneteenth. So happy Juneteenth. 1867, Maximilian I had the misfortune of being executed by a firing squad in Querétaro. 1905, the first Nickelodeon opens in Pittsburgh. 1953, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg are executed at Sing Sing for telling the Soviet Union how to make atomic bombs. 1964, the Civil Rights Act is approved after surviving a 83-day filibuster in the United States Senate. Birthdays are Canadian crooner Guy Lombardo, baseball player Lou Gehrig, man about Hollywood Errol Flynn, rock star Chet Atkins, brave Texan Audie Murphy, and the mayor of London, Boris Johnson, is 50 years old today. And Lester Flatt of Flatt and Scruggs would have been 100 years old today. James Gandolfini, TV's Tony Soprano, died at 51 1 year ago today. Today it's just me, Mark Mullen. But wait! Who just walked in but our old mascot? Some of you may remember him. Ladies and gentlemen, we bring you the Vebchi of Sololaki, William Dunbar.
I'm actually Vedeli.
Vedeli, Sololakeli, you know, it's all from the snob zone. All right, lovely to have you here, William. Thanks again for posting to our forum. This from Dustin that is so, so true. And I quote, "The pea cup thing is really quite bad. The government has often used it as a punitive measure for business owners who are not cooperating in Batumi. A year or two back, every male who came in and out of one bar after 10 p.m. was taken to the police station for a pee test because the owner was not testifying in a court case," end quote. Totally true. Happens a lot. Horrible. If you'd like to comment on the blog or ask a question, go to tbilpod.com or send us an email at tbilpod@gmail.com. So, as you may have heard, the 15th of June, Georgians voted to elect 12 new mayors, 59 gamgeblebi, or heads of municipalities, around 2,500 members of 71 local councils. 16,190 registered candidates were vying for different positions in local government. More than 16,000 local and 560 international observers were deployed at polling stations throughout the country. 3.5 million voters were registered. In Tbilisi, Georgian Dreams candidate for mayor Dato Narmania received 46% of the votes, which is not enough to win in the first round. UNM's Nika Melia got 27%. The United Opposition's Dima Lord Kipanidze received 12% of the vote. All that after 98% of the votes were counted, according to the numbers published by the CEC. There'll be a second round of voting elsewhere in the 11 cities and towns where elections for mayors and gamgeblebi were held, notably in Tel Aviv, Rustavi, and Batumi, where Georgian Dream will have to compete against the UNM. In Mscheta, Georgian Dream competes against the Green Party. In Gori, against Irakli Okoroshvili's Georgian Party. Candidate Kacha Ergmelidze. In Ozergeti and Poti, against Georgia's Alliance of Patriots. Those sound like a lovely bunch. In the election for Tbilisi City Council, Georgian Dream was winning 46% of the votes, while UNM had 26% of the votes, and Burjanadze's crew had 10%. Georgian Dream, or Otsneba, got 51% in Georgia overall, UNM 22%, Burjanadze 10%. The lowest voter turnout was noted in Tbilisi with 37%, while Rachelech Chumi had the highest turnout with 61%. A Georgian politician who withdrew his candidacy for Marnauli Gamgeblebi a day before Sunday's local election won with an absolute majority. Otsneba candidate Merab Topchishvili held a press conference to announce his withdrawal from the race following complaints and accusations regarding the competition. UNM candidates' registration problems to demonstrate that Otsneba was not involved. Despite announcing that he pulled out, the deadline for withdrawing one's candidacy is at least 10 days before the election, so Topchishvili's name remained on the ballot paper. A day after the elections, he said that he doesn't want to disappoint voters and will assume responsibilities as Gamgeblebi of Marnauli. UNM candidate Shalva Adeshvili won in local government elections and became members of the Ntsiziri City Council in the village of Ntsiziri. Adeshvili, as you may have guessed, is the father of former Justice Minister Zura Adeshvili, who is currently wanted by Interpol for abuse of power, organizing inhumane treatments of prisoners, and falsification of evidence involving criminal cases. Adashvili left Georgia after the October 2012 elections and currently resides in Hungary. Khatia Dekanoidze, old UNM stalwart, is in a runoff in Kfareli. UNM guy in Honi did well, almost won, except for, surprise, surprise, his own village, where the precinct was canceled due to alleged problems. However, he is serving time in jail. Melia in Tbilisi won in Mtatsminda district, our district.
That's where he's from.
Which is where he's from, but in no other district of Tbilisi. And for another little interesting tidbit, Aliko Elisashvili won in Tbilisi Sabartalo district. He works for Tbilisi Hamkari and has been very, very important in that organization, which is an architectural historical preservation organization. So hats off to Aliko for the good work that he has done and has tried to do, sometimes not so successfully. UNM portrayed the elections as marred by violence and fraud, of course. Gio Kandalaki said the governing coalition was using carousel voting, which everybody always says, which means the same group of people are brought to different precincts and voted several times. I kind of doubt it. Giga Bokeri, a former secretary of the Security Council, claimed that a group of people were ordered to attack certain precincts. He pointed to an incident in Zugdidi when masked people stole ballot papers and another incident in nearby Anaklia where the family of a man who's been missing for 2 years, attacked a precinct as a form of protest against the absence of an effective investigation. Member of Parliament Goga Khachidze's released a video from precinct number 57 of Marneuli district showing a man with assistance from a local precinct official stuffing ballot papers in a box at least 17 times in the course of the 9-minute-long video, which is actually uproarious. Like, what happened was the UNM observer was there, put a camera there and said, oh, I'm sick of this, I'm going to go get something to eat, and then left and left the camera on, and they immediately began.
But according to the Georgia Dream, it's a provocation staged by the UNM to discredit the elections in Marneuli still further, as if a guy withdrawing from the election and then winning and saying, actually, I'm going to take the thing, wasn't ridiculous enough. So, I mean, yeah, some dodgy things are going on in Marneuli, where, let's not forget, there was an ethnic riot in the next door town a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, watch out what's going on in the Azerbaijani border, because it's pretty tense down there.
Yeah, I mean, the reality of it is, I mean, I think that the UNM has been saying that they have a stronghold here and there. They've always said, oh, we're so incredibly popular in Samegrelo, which I do not think is the case. I mean, they said that's why we did so well before, and I think it was because they had a bunch of, you know, Roland's cootie thugs, you know, pushing people around, and I don't think that they're particularly popular. But the reality of it is that the UNM is quite popular with the Azeri voters, and Marneuli is not entirely Azeri. I mean, it's
83%,
you know, but heavily. And that, frankly, people just voted for them there, and they were worried about that. And it's and there has been significant mismanagement of ethnic issues related to building of mosques and worship, and not even mosques, but just people being able to exercise their constitutional rights to religion in a lot of those places.
But overall, it was a good election, and it was the right result, and it was a very bad day for the Georgian Dream, and not quite such a bad day for the UNM, I would suggest.
Well, there's a lot of different ways you could look at it. I mean, I think that
it was a very bad day for the Georgian Dream. After you have the Prime Minister hopping up and down, going on about how the UNM is going to be wiped out, how we won't allow victory in a single municipality. He said these things like 3 or 4 times, time and time again in the run-up to the election, which was a really dumb thing of him to say, and deeply damaging for just democracy and the state of polarization. I'm not saying the UNM have used particularly much better rhetoric, but to go around saying that they're going to be wiped out and then for them to get a solid, basically a quarter of the vote like they got in the presidential elections, which shows that 1 in 4 Georgians supports that party, and, you know, it's pretty embarrassing for the Prime Minister and his cohort.
Well, I think it's really good to have you back, Will, because I think that, when it's just me, you know, I'm right, and now we have, another version and allows me a foil of inaccuracy to push up against in the commentary here, and that's what our listeners love, you know, and so welcome back, Will. No, really, this is a triumph of democracy, because the fact of the matter is, like any serving government, this one has become somewhat less popular. Narmania was not a particularly popular candidate. He's not a gifted leader. He's not a particularly good speaker. He's an extremely educated guy, a guy who knows a whole lot about local government and is likely to be a pretty good manager. But he's just
I hate that phrase, good guy. Manager. Good manager is what people get, you know, people get called a good manager when there's literally nothing else to recommend them.
I don't know if that's the case, but, look, most of the people voted for the Georgian Dream. And I think most importantly, Unlike Misha's second presidential election, when they cheated in order to put him over the 50% threshold, these guys did not cheat. And so I think it was a triumph of democracy in that they said 46%, you know, rather than pretending that.
I could not agree more.
Because the real show of strength is when you will allow the will of the voters to be carried out, rather than pretending and faking it the way has happened in certain elections.
Well, I couldn't agree more. You're right. It's a good day for Georgia. It's a good day for democracy. However, what I worry about is that the rhetoric hasn't stopped, has it?
And I will say, Garibashvili's comments about, you know, destruction and, you know, and devastation and stuff like that was terrible.
Yes.
And somebody needs to have a word with him and explain to him that that's not a very smart thing to do. And then when Narmania, you know, it was not clear and it was somewhere around 50%, his sort of congratulations and then saying, I'm sure he'll get over the threshold. And then he didn't get over the threshold and say, well, it doesn't really matter anyway. And we won. And then, I don't know, somebody must have explained, and he said, oh, yeah, well, it's a triumph for democracy afterwards. I mean, I think his instincts are not particularly good at in those cases, and he should maybe develop them further.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. And also then pretending that the national movement got 6%, the real rating is 6%. I mean, this is deeply problematic. He was saying for weeks before the election that I know we've done polling and the national movement rating is 6%. We now know that there was an election and it's between 22 and 25% across the country, basically. And, you know, instead of admitting that he was wrong or even just not mentioning it at all, he gave a press conference where he said the real rating of the national movement is 6%. And I explain this because they're going to get 6% of the seats available in the party list. In the majoritarian contests in municipalities across the country. So they're going to sweep 6% of those seats, therefore their rating is 6%. To which Dato Bakradze memorably replied, well, I studied physics at university and I've been in politics for many years, but this is the first time I've had to explain that 27% is more than 6%. so, you know, I mean, yeah, our Prime Minister really needs to at least get his math skills together and stop saying things like that.
Yeah, well, let's see what happens there. I do think that
it's a good day for the national movement as well. Let's not underplay that. They have survived. That no one was suggesting that they would survive.
Yes and no. They have survived, and I think
they
that's good. But I do think they got a quarter of the vote
in Italy.
Right.
That makes you the ruling party.
Well, here's the problem though. Is it seems to me that there's two important groups within the national movement. There are those who are, you know, keep in mind, Misha is now swanning around Kiev, you know, talking about firing cops and all of that. And, you know, everybody else is getting called in for questioning every 5 seconds and, you know, meanwhile trying to run a campaign. And so, you know, I'm wondering whether there will be a split coming. And the split would essentially be between those who will apologize and those who will not apologize. If there is an apology, then there are certainly parts of the Otsneba, very broad coalition, that might be interested in joining with those parts and a new format that could be quite successful. There are also a number of people that have personal bones to pick with the UNM that would like some form of apology, and they have concerns about Otsneba and specifically some parts of Otsneba. And so I'm wondering whether this success will actually just delay what's most likely a necessary shakeout within the political groupings.
Well, I think that shakeout I wish that the political fault lines in Georgia followed the ideological fault lines, and the ideological fault lines are clearly pro-Western versus not pro-Western, and the political fault lines are, do you love or hate Mikhail Saakashvili? And I wish those things aligned up, but they tragically don't. But yeah, I don't see the national movement learning their lessons, really, and I certainly don't see the Georgian Dream learning their lessons either, even if some members of it, you know, are much more reasonable. Yeah, I see this polarization continuing, getting even worse, maybe. The British and Dutch embassies said this was a great day for pluralism, and yeah, maybe it is. But pluralism and polarization are not mutually exclusive.
That's
and
true. As an American, I can assure you.
Well, exactly, and I worry that scenario is only going to get worse, and I don't see either the Georgian Dream or the UNM really learning the lessons that need to be learned.
Yeah, maybe. The Coordinating Council, a new political bloc uniting various political parties and movements after the ouster of Abkhazia leader Alexander Ankvab in May, nominated Raul Khajimba as its candidate for snap presidential election scheduled for the 24th of August in Abkhazia. It will be Khajimba's third attempt for the presidency. He graduated from the KGB Academy in Minsk in the mid-1980s
And was that was a party school there, really. That was like Animal House.
Total party school, you know, Faber admits. It was, he was Abkhazia's vice president in 2005-2009, and in the 2011 presidential election in which Ankvab won 55% of the votes, Khajimba was third in the race with just under 20% of the votes. Thousands of Georgians may be struck off the voters list before the scheduled August elections. Abkhazia's acting president and parliamentary speaker, Valeri Ganda, instructed the Interior Ministry to compile a list of residents that obtained their Abkhaz passports illegally, meaning in the eastern districts where ethnic Georgians live. In the 13th of June, order expanded that the information should be sent to the Election Commission by the 30th of June and those names removed from the lists of voters. Likewise, on the 13th of June, Khajimba commented that there are 25 to 26,000 people in Abkhazia who are not eligible to vote in the August elections unless certain passport violation issues are resolved. The comment is presumably aimed at ethnic Georgians who hold both Georgian and Abkhazian passports. By Abkhaz law, the only dual citizenship allowed is if the other citizenship is Russian. The Georgian population of Abkhazia, which according to the 2011 census numbers 46,000 people, were given Abkhaz passports from the Interior Ministry after the passportization process began following Russia's recognition of Abkhaz independence in August 2008. They were supposed to renounce their Georgian citizenship, though many kept it in order to easily cross the border and receive services. On the 13th of June, President Mark Velashvili's foreign policy advisor, Fano Machavadiani, left his job. The head of the president's administration, Lasha Abashidze, also resigned. Both submitted a written resignation. Abashidze is the brother of the president's ex-wife, Machavadiani, and they've been friends for many, many, many years. Machavadiani said that that President Mark Velashvili asked him to leave. He gave plenty of specifics on Maestro 9 last night on TV. A few months ago, BI said in a TV interview that he was dissatisfied with the fact that Machavadiani was Mark Velashvili's advisor. He said that Machavadiani is a brother of Misha Machavadiani, a member of the UNM and former vice speaker of parliament. Both the Ivanishvili and Machavadiani brothers are from nearly the same village in Imereti.
I mean, this is, again, just deeply, deeply embarrassing and troubling as well. It's the way that these guys can get kicked out after a few negative comments from someone who, let's remember, doesn't have any official office at all. A couple of days ago, he said he thought it was politically incorrect for Machavadiani to work for Mark Velashvili because Mark Velashvili Machavadiani... brother is Misha's favorite and Vano is Mark Velashvili's favorite. Benzina just says that on TV and a few days later he gets the boot. That's really troubling that there can be this back channel pressure applied. And let's not forget that this is just another step in the, you know, really quite terrible humiliation of President Mark Velashvili, who is just constantly kicked around for no reason I can see. So again, another thing that perhaps you didn't notice happened last week was there was discussion about removing one of his final powers, which is to award the Shota Rustaveli Prize.
We'll mention that later in the in the show, yeah, which is completely ridiculous. But look, I agree with that, and I think that this whole thing is silly. I think what really needs to be thought of is what does this mean for the governance structure? Right now, the fact that this is happening is just. It's convenient for the prime minister's office, which, as we know, more or less in one way or another works for Ivanishvili, to not have a president. But there is a directly elected president. I mean, this is, by the way, and I don't want to be one of those people that say, yeah, but, you know, the national movement did this. But that's exactly what the national movement did. They needed to set up an accommodation between Zurishvili and Misha Saakashvili. So they illegally amended the constitution in about 48 hours on February 6, 2004. And that was really the start of them, you know, treating the constitution, you know, very differently than a constitution should be treated. And they would move around different powers at will and, you know, and nobody really cared. And, you know, under Misha, the prime minister was essentially his chief of staff.
Yeah.
They called it a prime minister, but that's not really what it was. So now it's supposed to be that way, except that when you have someone who is directly elected by the population, the way Mark Velashvili was, that's supposed to be different. And so they need to, you know, figure out the constitution better. But supposedly what's happening
is... I think they really need to show the office some respect. I mean, if you're going to have an office of the president, then to just basically insult it with your actions is... I mean, what does that say about the state of Georgian constitutionalism, of Georgian society? When you have one branch of government needlessly, petulantly attack the other, it's damaging.
It's not good. I mean, what will be interesting is to see... how these directly elected mayors are treated. I mean, at some point, one of these directly elected mayors is going to get in an argument with somebody important in the central government, but they will have their own electoral constituency that voted for them, and let's see how that happens.
Well, of course, the way the electoral code is deliberately written to solve that problem, right? So the electoral code is written in such a way that if, say, mayor of wherever or Gangabelli of wherever gets in a fight with someone in the central government, they can be recalled by a majority vote in the Sacre Bulo. The Sacre Bulo, which all over the country will be dominated by Georgian Dream. So those mayors are not beholden to the electorate that directly elected them. They are beholden to the Sacre Bulos, who can get rid of them at a stroke whenever they choose. So that's why all this great thing about local government reform and direct elections, which would have been great, but unfortunately, those people that have been directly elected, they're not... beholden to their electorate, beholden to the Georgian Dream.
Well, let's see. Well, I mean, you were right. If that happens a lot, if it doesn't happen a lot, then
I hope it doesn't happen a lot. But so, it's on the books.
All right. On the 12th of June, European Commission President José Manuel Barroso arrived in Georgia after visiting Moldova to reiterate support in Tbilisi once again, along with Chisinau, to prepare to sign an association agreement with the EU on the 27th of June. Speaking at a news conference, Barroso said that the EU is ready to engage in discussion with Russia if they will stop being such assholes. No, not really. He didn't say that. He said that if they have concerns and want to clarify some of the aspects of the association agreement, you know, he would be happy to coordinate with them. Mark Velashvili awarded Barroso the Order of the Golden Fleece for...
That's not the one that the Habsburgs used, by the way. It's a much, much less good one.
Right. For his support of Georgia's national interests in the international arena and for his contribution to the development of EU-Georgian relations. Georgian diplomat Herbert Salber was named the EU's new special representative for the South Caucasus.
German diplomat.
Jawohl. So, why? What did I say?
Georgian.
Oh, Georgian. German. Georgian. Like, whatever. Salber served as head of the OSCE's Conflict Prevention Center from 2006 to 2011. In his capacity as EU Special Representative, Salber will also serve as the co-chair of the Geneva International Discussions, launched after the August 2008 war and evidently still happening or existing. Ambassador Salber replaces French diplomat and former ambassador to Georgia, Philippe Lafort. The post was vacant for more than 4 months. Quarrel on the 18th of June between drunk officials from the Ministry of Internal Affairs was caught on camera by Taboola TV. The police patrol arrived at the scene after the journalists called. Ministry officials, including police Major Ramaz Kakalashvili and Givi Gamzardashvili, Gio Apsiauri and Irakli Dakunazashvili, allegedly then swore at Interior Minister Interior Ministry personnel Alexander Tcheidze. After a few minutes, several unknown men came in cars and took away the policemen. Later, the Interior Ministry stated that they sacked all four policemen involved in the scuffle. Former Prime Minister Vano Medvedevashvili declined Polish Member of Parliament Malgorzata Gosiewska's offer to ask Poland for political asylum. According to Gosiewska, she recently visited Medvedevashvili, and his prison conditions are the same since last year. He still does not have regular visitation rights with family members. As a reminder, Vano was arrested in May 2013 and sentenced to 4.5 years in prison in February 2014 on charges of abuse of office while he was interior minister. According to Freedom House annual report, Georgia is still in transition to a democratic political system. At the same time, the report points out that the overall direction towards democracy in the former Soviet countries has changed for the worse in 2013. On the 12th of June, a landslide damaged the road through Rikoti Pass, unofficially demarking eastern and western Georgia. The road was cleared and reopened after 3 days. A second landslide of soil and rock blocked the same Tbilisi-Senaki-Leselidze road on the 17th of June, which was closed again. Drivers can take a detour along the Gomi-Sachere-Chiatura-Zestaponi bypass, though trailers and half-trailers are prohibited from driving on this road. Kazbegi-Zemo-Larsi border crossing point between Georgia and Russia was reopened. The crossing was closed after a landslide that hit the Dadiali Gorge on the 17th of May. The border crossing point will operate around the clock, and all types of vehicles will be able to move via the temporary road. The road is important for Armenia as it's the only road connecting it to Russia. The government intends to take away one more power from the president, as Will mentioned, the right to award the Shoto Rustavelli Award and other national awards. The Ministry of Culture prepared a bill, but the government postponed sending the bill to Parliament for discussion because it's incredibly stupid and unimportant.
And embarrassing.
And embarrassing and dumb. Neither the ministry nor the government members gave an explanation for the necessity of the draft.
I mean, it's just so dumb. I mean, it's embarrassing. And like, what sort of person... Oh, I don't know. Why would you even bother? Why would you think, you know what, I'm the Prime Minister and I need to be able to award these prizes as well as run the country? It's just so...
I mean, that's what you have a president for, award.
If you're going to have a ceremonial president, let them do some goddamn ceremonies.
Indeed.
It's just a prize-giving one.
On the 13th of June, UN spokesman Rupert Colville reported that 16 Georgians were captured by Islamist insurgents in Iraq. Georgian authorities did not confirm the report. The 16 Georgians are employees of Iraqi telecommunications company in Mosul. The National Iraqi News Agency writes that the kidnapped Georgians were freed and sent to Baghdad. The Georgian Ministry of Foreign Affairs advised its citizens not to travel to Iraq, and those already there to avoid conflict areas, meaning Iraq. Kazatron's Gas, Tbilisi CEO Sanzar Sokotayev, announced that the Georgian subsidiary of the Kazakh state natural gas shipping giant will be sold. A deal with potential buyers will be concluded in 2015. According to Sokotayev, this is a government decision for private certain assets and to withdraw its investment, to privatize certain assets and withdraw its investment from Georgia. Kazatron's Gas and Georgian authorities have been disputing for a number of years the retail price of gas for the local population. Russian businessmen are interested in the construction of a large hydropower plant in Georgia. The businessmen are members of the Russian Club of Orthodox Philanthropists, which is close to the Moscow Patriarchate. They will partner with Georgia's Energy Development Fund. The businessmen met with three large companies to discuss investment projects, but otherwise neither details of the project nor the identity of the investors, of course, has been specified. Dodgy deal.
Well, I mean, that sounds completely legit. What could possibly go wrong with the Russian Orthodox Philanthropy Fund or whatever?
Japan gave $5 million to Georgia to develop the country's medical sphere and not at all to buy Japanese medical equipment. The grant will be allocated to the Georgian Ministry of Health to purchase medical equipment for ambulances and apparatuses for medical research. Since 1997, the Japanese government allocated about $40 million to Georgia to buy Japanese stuff, I mean, to support its agricultural sector, municipalities, and other projects. Luis Navarro, chief of NDI Georgia, was baptized Orthodox in Tbilisi's Betlemi Church on Saturday, the 14th of June. Navarro told his priest, Father Alexandre, that he never met people as warm and as moral as in Georgia, and that he realized it was because of their faith. So he decided to get baptized. His Orthodox name is Dato. The godfather present at his baptism was Gio Targamadze, founder of the political party, the Christian Democratic Movement.
I was also there.
And Will was also there. Navarro's an American citizen. Navarro's an American citizen whose ancestors are from Peru, and until now was not following any religion. Navarro has been NDI's country director for Georgia since 2009. Perhaps also decisive was an impending godfather-ness.
Yes. I think there may have been ulterior motives, but I wouldn't like to speculate.
Okay. A woman claims a priest discriminated against her daughter because of her ethnicity and effectively kicked her out of a church. Ina Sukasyan, who is of Armenian origins, wrote on her Facebook page and later told journalists that her 10-year-old daughter was on a youth group trip and visited Sioni Church when a priest told the girl that she was crossing herself incorrectly. When the girl explained that she was crossing herself as they do in the Armenian church, he replied that Armenians, quote, stand far from God and don't have the right to go to Georgian churches, end quote, as the mother reports. The priest in question, David Lasurashvili, responded that no one was actually forced to leave the church. No official response yet from the Georgian church.
Well, Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. You know, I mean, all I want to say is hats off to Mama Ina, or, you know, the mother, Ina, of this girl who had to deal with what, I mean, let's be real. This priest actually said horrible stuff and has got to be an incredible jerk. And I believe the mother.
I totally believe it. I mean, it's so plausible.
It's so totally plausible, and it is shameful. And I hope that of those listeners, that the real serious Georgian Orthodox believers will stop by Sioni Church and discuss with Mama David Lazurashvili that, you know, this is just really messed up and not good for anybody and has nothing to do with the teachings.
Perhaps there are some parables in the New Testament they could point to.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, you know,
turning the other cheek and various other things.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus was pretty good on record for these sorts of matters. This happened a few weeks ago, but we missed it. Some Arab businessmen from Dubai were kicked out of Bendukidze's pool in Vake, the city's most, actually Bendukidze's sister's pool, the city's most expensive swimming pool. Reportedly, other pool club members complained to the management right away when they saw a group of six or seven Arabic-speaking men enter the pool area. Club members said that they pay a lot of money to relax and don't want to go to a pool with Arabs who are dirty. The manager said the Arab patrons were kicked out because they were not observing the pool's hygiene rules, because they were barefoot and were not wearing swimsuits, which were, of course, I mean, the whole thing is completely BS.
They weren't wearing
swimsuits. I mean, they weren't. They must have been wearing swimsuits. You know, anyway, Gogi Gvakhadia blogged about this, and it's just totally messed up. I don't know the full story. I'll see what I'll find out about that. It is a beautiful facility. But considering some of the snobs that hang around there, I can sort of imagine that happening. But it's just a bummer. A worker died after he was accidentally electrocuted at a steelworking part of the Rustavi Metallurgy smelter plant on the 17th of June. 29-year-old electrician Nukri Kimadze was hit by 1,000 volts of electricity when he was trying to repair damaged electrical cables for a plant oven. Same day, a miner injured in a fire in a coal mine in Tkhibouli in western Georgia last week died in a Tbilisi hospital from his injuries, according to the Georgian trade unions. 30 people died and 32 were injured in work-related accidents in 2013. There's a new drug on Georgia's illegal black market called Archaeologist. According to specialists, the drug, and this sounds weird, the drug producers make the drug by extracting soil from the spot where the government disposes and burns illegal substances. I don't know. Nutty. This Archaeologist drug has fatal effects on users in the past month. It directly attacks the respiratory system and in most cases causes either a coma or death. An investigation has already begun, but the identities of the drug producers are unknown. Restoration of the mud resort of Akhtala in Kakheti, co-financed by the Ministry of Regional Development and the World Bank, is complete. The holiday season opens on the 1st of June, and will last until mid-November. The resort has 65 beds and overnight stay costs from 55 to 63 lari. There's a new forest park, bicycle paths, restrooms, chairs, and outdoor lighting. The resort management expects to receive both local and foreign tourists. Totally awesome that they have restrooms. You know.
Well, otherwise you wouldn't notice in the mud bath, would you?
Ooh, hey, there shall be none of that in the mud bath. Citizens who own ancestral land in Tusheti will be able to register their property. Until now, these lands were zones of a forest fund, making private registration impossible. The change will allow them to register the land under their names and officially own them. According to the Georgian National Wine Agency, wine export revenues increased up 170% in 2014. The top five Georgian export markets are Russia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, Poland, and Latvia. Russia leads with 68% of the total volume of exports. The next five countries in terms of the amount of exports are, second one, China, then Lithuania, Belarus, Estonia, and Azerbaijan. In parliamentary news, Parliament was not holding sessions because of the 15th of June local elections. Break will continue because of the second round. Tbilisi's Azrebi this week, Ilia State University philosophy student Guri Sultanashvili talked about the word politics and its perception in Georgian society. The original word comes from the Greek polis, which means city, a shared space where people reside. According to Sultan Ashvili, the new meaning of the modern Georgian of modern Georgian politics is now, unfortunately, the total opposite based on the individual. Politics works for the personal goals and ambitions of individual politicians, not for the country or people. Guri believes that Georgians, and especially Georgian politicians, should instead aim to support each other and make every level of society strong for the overall strength of the state, and for some other good reasons besides the overall strength of the state. The meme this week is a photo of Georgian Dream's mayoral candidate for Tbilisi, Dato Narmania, posted by UNM Member of Parliament Givi Targamadze. In the photo, Narmania is, in Targamadze's word, crouching in a Spider-Man-like pose on a beach and cutting a watermelon. Targamadze titled the photo Spider-Man and UNM's Secret Casket. The photo went viral and inspired many Photoshop caricatures, sort of like the Tabudetka priest all over Facebook.
I have to say, I think it's actually really quite childish of Targamadze to go onto someone's Facebook page and take some private family photo or whatever it was, and which is quite an embarrassing photo, and then like spread it around. I mean, you know, this just, can't we get over it? Can't we just be a little more adult about it? And of course, Narmania, a guy running for mayor, should have purged all his Facebook friends and taken all his photos down. I mean, that's just what you do when you run for office, isn't it? But still, it's just so childish and petty, and it just makes me weep, really.
Givi's pretty childish and pretty petty. You got it, Matt. TI Georgia's assessment of the 2014 local elections. The organization noted several problems concerning election day procedures, problems with voters lists, violations of the inking procedures, obstruction of observers' work, voting with incorrect documents, pressure on voters, attempts to thwart voting process. But in general, these didn't influence the results a whole lot. An analysis of Georgian-Russian relations by Ebhard Sanschneider, in the run-up to the signing of the 27th of June Association Agreement, according to the paper, despite efforts to reduce its dependency on Russia, Georgia remains vulnerable to Russian pressure, which will continue without security guarantees from NATO. In view of the Russian attempts to exert influence and a possible risk of Euroscepticism within Georgia, it will be for the EU to keep the country on the European track. Let's hope they step up to the plate. An article in Liberali by Dustin Galbraith about the Caucasus Research Resource Center's finding about the 2014 municipal elections, according to the author, the elections are significant not because of the contested offices themselves, but from the fact that they are the final step in the larger cycle of elections regularly held in Georgia, parliamentary, presidential, and municipal, in which there was a normal transfer of power. Article in ISET by Saba Devdariani about the economics of prostitution. He points that in countries where prostitution is legal, it generates considerable revenue, and ignoring the moral aspects of the business, there are many economic reasons to legalize prostitution. Article by Jennifer Rankin in The Guardian about fashion brands violating labor laws in Eastern Europe. According to the article, Adidas, Primark, and Zara are among the host of Western brands accused of profiting from a supply chain that pays garment workers in Eastern Europe and Turkey poverty wages and tramples their labor rights. Sounds like The Guardian. In Georgia, workers who said that they were stitching T-shirts for Adidas reported being under extreme pressure not to take sick leave, suffering intimidation from management, and said that inadequate heating or air conditioning contributed to health problems. Should be investigated. Article in Democracy and Freedom Watch about the music festival Kazantip. The Republic of Kazantip, which was held annually in Crimea, seems to be experiencing its own share of separatism. The group that is inviting festival goers to the Georgian Black Sea Resort of Anakli in August say that they are not only the festival founders, but the sole organizers. In May, Itar Tass reported that another group claiming to be the real festival organizers, also claiming that the festival was not moved to Georgia after all, are taking it somewhere else. All these things to read will be posted on our forum. This week's GeoCapital number is 8%. That is the difference in voter turnout for mayoral elections in Tbilisi from 2014, going back to 2010. 45% of eligible voters voted in the last mayoral elections in 2010. This week, 37% of eligible voters did. The total number of Tbilisi voters in 2010 was 451,381. Total number of this week was 342,996. For the month of June, Domkino across from Rustaveli McDonald's will be showing on Friday the 20th. Tickets on Saturday the 21st, certified copy. Sunday the 22nd of June, Like Someone in Love. All movies start at 7. On the 19th of June at 7 p.m., the Tbilisi State Conservatoire Grand Hall will host a classic music awareness program for amateurs called I Love Classical Music. There will be a presentation followed by a concert by the most talented pupils, teachers, and parents of the music seminar, conservatory, that thing. Entrance is free, address is 8 to 10 Griboedov Street. On the 21st of June at 11 a.m., there will be an official grand opening ceremony of the International Products Exhibition Fair in Tbilisi. We'll have a chance to taste Chinese and Georgian food, take part in a lottery to win a thousand lari gift voucher. There will be children's painting competition. Winners will get gift coupons for various stores. It's in Vazi Subani, adjacent to the Olympic Village building. Turn right from the Pyramid Police. For additional details, go to facebook.com/Hualing. That's H-U-A-L-I-N-G-G. All you Chinese speakers, get on over there to practice. For those of you who are in London, don't miss an event hosted by the Legatum Institute on the 23rd of June at 6 p.m. What are you chuckling about?
This is the event about Georgian police reform, which has no Georgians.
Called Revolutionary Tactics from Georgia to Ukraine, Lessons from Police and Justice Reform in Georgia. Speakers will be Peter Pomeratsev, a journalist, documentary producer, and author of the paper. Jeffrey Robertson, QC, founder of Doughty Street Chambers. All right, I know where Doughty Street is. And Jovan Radovic, advisor to the leader of Serbia's New Democratic Party. The event will be moderated by Ann Applebaum. She's a big shot, director of the Legatum Institute's Transitions Forum. Address is 11 Charles Street, Mayfair, London. Attendance is by RSVP only. For further details, I don't know if that means you have to be invited, but you listen to us, so that means you're invited. For further details, please contact Hannah Harding at li.com. That's HANNAH.Harding, HARDING, at li.com. For those of you who are unable to attend, the event will be live streamed and available to watch at li.com/player. Cine Doc Tbilisi announced an open call for film submissions for 2014 creative documentaries. Are welcome for the sections of international competition, focus caucuses, and Cine Doc Young. To submit your documentary, visit their webpage, cinedoc-tbilisi.com. Deadline for submission is the 1st of July, so get moving. That's it for this week. Will, lovely to have you back. All right, we're going to have to do a lot more of this during the month of July. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email address is tpeelpod@gmail.com. Or post to the forum on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. Shout out to Matthias and Cameron, gone but not forgotten, traveling around different parts of the world, as far as I know. I think different parts of North America. Here is Flatten Scruggs at the Grand Old Opry in 1965 with Foggy Mountain Breakdown.